So one thing that often mystifies the West and is generally misunderstood is karma, or the Tibetan or Buddhist general understanding of cause and effect. Here, many people think that this is somehow a cold, very hard thing to make people responsible for their own lives, and saying what you experience now is a result of what you did, thought, and said earlier. But actually, if people want to be awake and be conscious and be mature and have a view and a way for their own lives, then actually in that case, we should be very thankful for this. Because if things just happened to us, right, if there was no causality, then, well, what could we do? We'd always be complaining in some corner, we'd always be feeling pain or problems or sometimes happiness and so on, but we would have no way and no goal. The fact that Buddha teaches us about karma is actually a very, very great help. But first you should maybe know that, or we should maybe all understand in the West, right, where we open up to Buddhism now, we should understand that karma is not destiny and it is also not fate. Karma is causality. And that means that until something happens, it can be removed. Until certain conditions mature, they can be changed. And actually, we can only be mature and we can only have full power if we take responsibility for our own lives. Otherwise, how will we learn? You know, and also, if we learn, we cannot say that suddenly now karma functions, before it didn't exist, and so on. Of course, it's a principle that goes through everywhere and that we have to learn to work with. And actually, if we collect all the teachings that Buddha gave about karma, and he gave many, we can say that there are three groups of four conditions each, which cover the whole area. First, we should know that karma are strong imprints planted in our own subconscious, planted in the world around us, which will at a later time bring results, if not first removed, right? And removal, of course, is best through meditation. But anyway, how is karma then built up? Something that will create a lot of happiness or maybe a lot of suffering in the future. Well, it's strongest if four things are there. If we know a given situation, how it is, if we wish to do something, if we do it or have it done, or if we are satisfied afterwards. If these four conditions come together, knowing what it is, wishing, doing, and having done, and being satisfied afterwards, then the result would be the strongest. Whether we did something wonderful that gladdened the hearts of many, or whether we did something that was really obnoxious and painful and suffering and so on, both cases it's like that. Good then, how then is karma experienced? Well, usually it doesn't come during this life, because we're simply being bombarded by new impressions all the time. But when the energy awareness, which is our mind, leaves our body, when at death we go out, then these impressions stop and four results appear. First is what happens between one human being or one human existence and the next one. Between we die from one life and we go between a loving couple somewhere and stick with the egg and sperm, you know, and become a new human being. So whether this period is pleasant or unpleasant, that's the first result. The next result is what kind of bodies do we get? Do we get bodies that naturally bring us pleasure, that are pleasant, that are well-liked, or do we get bodies that create a lot of trouble, you know, are painful and sick and so on? Second result. Third result is, where do we get it? To really be clear, say, well, Switzerland or Congo, right? I mean, if you look at it, right, to take extreme examples, right? But also with social class and stuff like that, right, around the world. And finally then, what kind of motivation do we have when we get born there? Do we naturally want to fill our minds with good impressions that make our minds happy and pleased and so on? Or do we want to do things that harm others, stand on them in order to get to something for ourselves? That was the four things which are the experience of mind, which keep us going in the wheel of conditioned existence. And then, how do we remove it? Well, first we have to know something is not all right. That something, I mean, I'm always thinking I'm nearly twice as old as Buddha when he got enlightened, and I'm still a blockhead, right? I mean, one thing. other people remember something they did which was really harmful, right? And so first we must know something is not all right. Second thing is we must wish to remove it and use methods like a special mantra with 100 syllables we use in the diamond way. It's like an industrial cleaning of our subconscious. It's very powerful. The third thing again is we must decide not to do it again, to stop, to close the well so no more kids fall in, right? And the last thing is that we must decide to do the opposite, try to do something opposite. And by doing this, and that's a very wonderful thing, things don't just disappear from our mind, they become experience. And later on, we can help others in those situations we went through ourselves. It really gives life experience, it gives maturity, it gives solidity as a human being, it makes people feel they can trust us if they know we've been in all the holes that they tried, you know, and we came out, you know, and we know where to go. So this is karma, and it's one thing the West will have to accept whether we like it or not. The sooner the better.
Lama Oli Naidal has founded over 560 Diamond Way Karmakaju centers around the world. These centers are operated on the basis of friendship and idealism, dedicated to making the crown jewel of the Buddhist teachings available to modern society. For more information, or to find a center near you, visit www.diamondway.org.